Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Krista Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, as all of you amazing people know because you're listening, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, happy hump day-worthy podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020.
Summer's happy Earth Day.
Oh my goodness, it is Earth Day. Happy Earth Day, Christy. It is a fabulous day to celebrate our Earth. My goodness, happy Earth Day to you too.
Yes, and it's the 50th anniversary, so quite a milestone. And I think we have several solutions today that are focused on the environment.
Should we probably just get right into it today? I know we've got a lot on the plate at the office, so we're going to save the chit chat for later. Our first solution in the environment section of the Optimist Daily, marine life rebounded during the world wars. The same is happening now. During both world wars, the global demand for fish and seafood plummeted, forcing fishing fleets to stay on the docks while fish stocks rebounded. Now, it seems, a similar effect is coming into play as a result of the coronavirus crisis. The closure of restaurants and hotels, the main buyers of fish and seafood, together with the difficulties of maintaining social distancing among crews at sea, have caused hundreds of fishing vessels to be tied up at ports around the world. Demand and prices have collapsed in Asia, home to some of the world's largest seafood and fish markets. In Spain, which has the largest fleet in the European Union, half of the ships are staying in port. The marine environment can only benefit from the reduced pressure on stocks, however. While evidence of a recovery in marine life is still anecdotal, increases in the presence of mammals such as killer whales, dolphins, and seals have been recorded in areas where they hadn't been seen in decades. Mainly because of noise and activity on the water that have all diminished. Looking to the past, scientists witnessed spectacular recoveries of marine life after both world wars stopped commercial fishing in its tracks. With boats tied up, it seems the same is happening now. The lockdowns are likely to favor the recovery of the species in the Mediterranean, which breed between March and May, and in the Atlantic, which breed between April and June. The impact will be seen within 1 or 2 years, though it will probably be less dramatic than the recovery after the World Wars, which halted fishing for 3 to 5 years, depending on the region, said Carlos Duarte, a researcher chair at the Red Sea Research Center in Saudi Arabia. This story makes me both very, very happy, and it also makes me really think with a lot of compassion about all those folks who are not currently working. And so while our oceans are doing beautifully and it was high time that they did, I think what I would want to say with this story too is be aware and be compassionate and be as generous as you can to anyone who worked in that industry because we all need help right now.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, Summers. I mean, it's nice that these fish are going to have a opportunity to rebound, but for the fishermen and the people whose livelihood depends on fishing, it's not such good news. But hopefully all those baby fish which are being born right now in the Atlantic and the Mediterranean, in a couple years there'll be a lot more food to be harvested for those same fishermen, and hopefully they can make it through this hard time and come out ahead in the end.
Yeah, perhaps it's a positive prophecy of the abundance ahead.
Yes. All right, well, in another interesting story about how this shutdown is affecting the world, from our business section on the Optimist Daily, we're asking the question, what does it mean for the climate when oil prices fall below zero? As you probably heard this week, the price of oil actually crashed to below $0 a barrel for the first time in history. At a time when the world needs to transition from fossil fuels to avoid even bigger catastrophe of climate change, what does this state of the industry mean for the climate? Some climate activists suggest that oil is cheap enough that the government or philanthropic organizations could take over failing companies and then shut them down. But that may not work very well. As a Bloomberg column recently pointed out, the cost would still be significant. Retiring debt would cost nearly $3 billion, and buying oil or gas company assets wouldn't necessarily stop production, since these companies typically lease mineral rights from other landowners, who could theoretically later sell those rights to someone else. Still, the current situation could help speed the transition away from oil and gas. Normally, cheap oil would lead to more oil use, but since the pandemic has forced travel to drop dramatically, there's not as much demand. Many companies may realize that remote work is a plausible long-term option, and the number of people commuting each day may shrink. Work that once involved frequent plane travel may continue to rely more on video conferences, even after the highest risk of infection has fallen. As consumers deal with tight budgets, they may decide to wait a couple more years before buying their next car. And that could coincide with the point when it's suddenly cheaper to buy and use an electric vehicle than one with an internal combustion engine. So will the recovery after coronavirus embrace the necessary green technology of the future? This is not a certainty, but the hope is that the drastic drop in oil prices will show us that the need is something that is not only more stable, but also cleaner.
This really is a silver linings article, and I think that we can look to how economies are changing and how behaviors are changing. And where we've said over and over on the Optimist Daily and in our other content portals, you know, Solutions News podcasts, the green economy has huge opportunities for business and abundance and jobs. And right now we are seeing a forced shift to a green economy. And I know that we will recover as a world in a better way in a booming green economy.
Similar to our last story, Summers, I mean, this has real implications for real people who depend on jobs in the oil industry, because there are thousands of Americans and thousands of people around the world who work in those industries. The hope is that we can actually get those people working in different industries that are going to be more beneficial and more sustainable for the long term going forward. And I think the other thing that's interesting is that oil in the past was one of those pillars that our whole economy was really founded on. And it's not as much, lately. So that's just sort of an interesting shift in the importance of oil and fossil fuel.
Well, and turning our attention to a industry that is oddly crushing it from the energy section of the Optimist Daily, Germany crushes solar power record thanks to smog-free skies. As Europe halts daily life in the fight against coronavirus, the skies above have become as crisp and clean as ever. And not only does that allow for a breath of fresh air, but it also allows solar panels to produce maximum power. In Germany, solar panels produced record amounts of electricity, exacerbating market forces that were already hammering the profitability of the country's remaining coal plants. Gin-clear skies over Central Europe helped photovoltaic plants produced 32,227 megawatts on Monday, beating the previous record on March 23rd. Bright conditions are expected to continue this week, according to Germany's DWD Federal Weather Service. Sunny conditions meant solar generated as much as 40% of Germany's power on Monday. Guys, 40% of Germany's power was generated by solar, compared to 22% produced by coal and nuclear. According to Agora Energiewende, solar, wind, and other renewables accounted for 78% of Germany's electricity output. Renewables together are cutting deeper into the market share for coal, the fuel on which Germany's wealth and industrial prowess were built. The government forecasts that green power will make up about 80% of the electricity mix by 2038, comparing with just over 40% in 2019. Coronavirus lockdowns are accelerating market trends that spell doom for the dirtiest fossil fuels. Less activity has slashed electricity demand just as spring's sunnier and windy weather boosts output from renewables, which have priority over fossil fuels in feeding the grid. While the coronavirus is not something to celebrate, as we know, seeing the positive environmental benefits is certainly thought-provoking as we can prepare for a post-coronavirus world. And that is a business that's absolutely nailing it. And that is where we should put our optimism and our energy and our solution mindset.
All these are great stories for Earth Day, Summers. I just love it showing the transition away from dirty fuels that are really affecting our environment and our air quality and our health.
100%, Christy. Absolutely.
Okay, so our next story, which is from the urban development section on the Optimist Daily, but it also has a Earth Day / environmental thread through it. And this is from Europe also. Milan plans to have fewer cars on its street after the lockdown. The coronavirus has shaken up many aspects of our lives, But this trying time should also be seen as a window of opportunity to lay new ground for meaningful change within our current structures. Milan, for one, is definitely not missing this chance to redesign the city to the benefit of its inhabitants. The northern Italian city is set to introduce one of Europe's most ambitious schemes for reallocating street space away from cars and to cycling and walking, partly in a response to the coronavirus crisis. Milan and the surrounding region of Lombardy are among the continent's most polluted and have also been especially hard hit by COVID-19. But as the city's lockdown ensued, motor traffic congestion dropped by 30-75%, and the air pollution also dropped along with that. In an effort to fend off a resurgence in car use once residents return to work, the city plans to transform 35 kilometers, which is 22 miles, of streets over the summer, with a rapid experimental citywide expansion of cycling and walking space to protect residents as COVID-19 restrictions are lifted. The Strade Aperte plan includes low-cost temporary cycle lanes, new and widened pavements, 30 km per hour, which is 20 miles per hour, speed limits, and pedestrian and cyclist priority streets. Given that Milan is 1 month ahead of other world cities in the trajectory of the pandemic, it has the opportunity to provide a roadmap for other cities to follow and improve their livability. The reason I love this story, Summers, is it's talking about how this pause that we've had to take is making us rethink some of the things that we thought we couldn't change. You know, some of these assumptions that having a car was the best thing in this kind of congested, smog-polluted city was something that ought to be preserved, mm-hmm. and now maybe it shouldn't. And let's take a step back and let's improve our air quality for good going forward. And this will help
Absolutely.
People have, you know, have clearer lungs. It's about public health as much as it is about cleaning the air. So
social distancing and non-compacted living with more space to move about is actually better for your health. And this is going to sound very, very selfish, but when we had Brennan in daycare, she got sick all the time, and we felt like we were being good parents because we were building her immune system. And I have to say that the last 7 weeks that we are 6.5-7 weeks that we have been isolating, she hasn't gotten a single cold. So there's something about having more space from other humans and having better air that seems to really lift all of our well-being.
Except I'm getting depressed, Summers. I really miss my friends.
Yeah.
And I look forward to actually being able to sit down with you and with other people who are important to me and actually share a good laugh.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. So. It's a tricky line. So.
Yeah.
Well, Christy, these stories today have been heavy stories because of the implications of all of the change that is upon us. And I think really focusing on seeing the positive in these heavy stories is what we can offer at the Optimist Daily. We have one more story for today, also from the environment. Ambitious experiment aims to protect the Great Barrier Reef from bleaching. The Great Barrier Reef is facing its first mass bleaching event in 5 years as a result of climate change and the record ocean temperatures. In a bid to mitigate the ecosystem's loss and protect it from warming, scientists from the University of Sydney have recently experimented with a futuristic process called cloud brightening. The experiment involved a boat-mounted fan similar to a snow cannon to shoot salt crystals into the air to make clouds reflect more sunlight and thus cool the waters around the reef. To have a significant impact on the reef, a full-scale experiment would need to be 10 times larger, involving the use of several big barge-mounted turbines, according to the project's lead scientist. But if things go as they hope, the process could reduce bleaching by as much as 70%. While cloud brightening techniques would mainly act as a mitigating solution rather than solving the underlying challenge of climate change, it represents an ambitious effort from scientists to buy us some more time. And that is the solution thinking, more of these solution-based ideas. We're going to get through this and the world is going to end up in a better place.
Optimism isn't about sitting back and hoping that it all turns out okay. It's really about taking a solutions mindset and focusing on what can be done, what needs to be done, acknowledging the issues, but then seeing what are the benefits or potential like positive actions that can be taken and making them happen. So I just think that that's something to keep our minds around. It's not about, you know, sitting back and watching all the world go by Pollyanna-ish. It's about looking at what we can do, what we must do, and getting involved.
Well, Christy, before we wrap up, how are you celebrating Earth Day?
I am going to sign on to some of these digital Earth Day celebrations. I'm going to listen to some of the leaders in this world, and I'm going to be working a lot today, honestly. It's not a company holiday for us. We're going to be focusing on bringing these solutions to our readers and to our listeners, and that'll be what I'm doing.
I love it. Well, I'm going to take some time late this afternoon to help build an outdoor little play area for my darling daughter, who has expanded her terrain and needs more space. So we finally from Amazon yesterday came an outdoor play yard that's all super secure. We tried to buy a used one, but nobody would sell us anything right now because of social distancing.
Probably a good idea.
We bought a new one on Amazon, and it's here, and we're going to build that this afternoon. So I'll probably upload pictures on my Instagram if anybody wants to check it out.
Yeah, and I plan to do a little bit of digging in the dirt. I'm trying to grow some cilantro right now, so that'll be my Earth Day digging in the dirt.
You know what? I'm going to go find some succulents and make you mug succulents and have it delivered to your house sometime in the future.
Thank you, Summers. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com, and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Guys, we really do need emissaries, and we really do need those of you who have the means to commit to supporting our organization. We want to stay reader funded. We don't want to take on advertising, so consider becoming an emissary. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness, and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Happy Earth Day, everybody.
Thanks, Summers. Happy Earth Day.